Good morning. Two of the verses from that section of the story in Matthew kind of stood out to me as Kim was reading verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And then verse 33 to kind of bookend that, "And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. O Lord, still our hearts in you today as our Lord, and teach us the importance of courage and of obedience and persistence as we daily walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. This has to be one of my favorite encounters with Jesus in the New Testament. And as I think it through, I'm not exactly sure why that I could prove that it's more meaningful than another story. But for many years now, it's one that's just kind of had a heart connection with me. And I think as I try to discern why that is, the one thing that it reflects, something that is humanly impossible. And it reveals the glory of God to those who were there at that moment. And so I think it's kind of those two things that just attract me to this scripture. And yet, when we think of Peter, because of his faith and trust in Jesus, even though it was a humanly impossible act, for a brief, holy, divine moment, he was stepping it out on the water. And I would love to be there. I find that very attractive. Though with that said, this morning, sometimes I find walking with Jesus like skydiving off the Statue of Liberty, which is very intimidating. So it is very attractive, though very intimidating at the same time, in a good and holy and godly way. There's another story, and even though I've only been here going on 3 months, you probably realize sometimes I'll tell stories that are just stories. I think this is made up. I'll say that up front, but I think the importance of it connects here, and I like the visual. But there was a one of these rock climber guys, and I like this one because the boys and I have gotten to where, you know, we'll go rock climbing, but it's at the playground. You know, we haven't really done a real rock wall yet. Someday, you know, when they get older, if they want to do that, we may free climb, and I may be the one with the binoculars at the bottom of the mountain. But there was this rock climber free climbing it one day, and he was coming up the side of the wall, and he slipped, and he grabs a hold of a tree branch. And so he's hanging there, kind of swinging back and forth, and it's 50 feet up, and he looks down, and it's another 100 feet down. And so it's like one of those foxhole prayers in the heat of the moment, if you will. So he's like, "Is there anybody up there?" And the booming voice of the Lord comes down, "Yes, let go of the branch, and trust me. I will catch you." And so he looks again and he goes, "Is there anyone else up there?" With a rope, preferably. You know, we laugh, and I'm glad you laugh because you get it. But the reality is, it sounds so easy to be obedient to the Lord. At times, though, it requires much courage and desire to be obedient. And courage is something that we've been studying in the men's Sunday school class that I've been blessed to sit in on with Bill Skura teaching us. And so I just wanted to share with you folks a couple of quotes that we were given from the text that we're studying called Stepping Up. One reason I wanted to bring these, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, but sometimes, at least in my own spirit, my own mind, whenever I think of courage, the thing that comes to mind is someone, you know, when I rip the shirt open and there's a big S right there and I can bounce bullets off and, you know, there's no fear involved and you can jump over buildings. And folks, the reality is that has nothing to do with, that's insanity. That's not courage. That's a superhero movie, and that's not really what courage is about. And so you would probably be familiar with most of these people that I've got that have spoken on what courage is. The first one would be that familiar cowboy John Wayne, who said years ago, "Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway." No, I don't ride horses, but I like that image that even in the face of fear, courage doesn't turn and run away, but does the right thing in that moment. The next one would be a familiar general, George Patton, who oftentimes when we see in TV shows and things like that from the Second World War, you don't think of fear, with that general, but the reality is, he stated, courage is fear holding on a minute longer, recognizing that anyone who does a courageous act is going to have some level of fear. Next, G.K. Chesterton says, courage is a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. And I like that image also in the fact that courage does not set out to give its life, but if necessary, that will be the follow-through of what courage looks like. And then finally, Eddie Rickenbacker, some of you would be familiar with the name from the Second World War as one of those who was in one of the aircraft that took on a lot of flak and things that he had to deal with, a lot of difficult situations. And Eddie says, courage is doing what you are afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you are scared. And I like that idea also, is the fact that sometimes the most courageous thing we can do is to admit we are scared, but we move forward in the midst of that fear and concern. I like the way one pastor reflects on this event. The event that I'm talking about is what Kim shared with us from Matthew's gospel, where Peter steps out of the boat and comes to Jesus. And he says this: no matter what we are facing, the circumstances we are facing is not something that's catching God by surprise. It may catch us by surprise, but it never catches God by surprise in this life. Amen? So if you believe that today, in fact, sometimes I think the very thing that we're facing at the time is something that he's going to use to grow us and stretch us and to make us more like he would have us to be. So the event itself may even be something that God is very aware of and to some degree even instrumental in having in your life. In this situation where we see the disciples out in the middle of the water late in the night struggling against the oars, trying to keep the boat from capsizing, it was Jesus, in fact, if you look close at that scripture, who sent them into the storm. I don't think the storm caught Jesus by surprise. In fact, I think he knew it was going to be there. They weren't there by chance. They were there for a greater purpose. Another amazing thing I learned from the study of this text in the past is that I often put my eyes on the wrong person or the wrong situation or the wrong event, even while walking with Christ in this life. What I mean to say is that too many times when we've thought of this story, we think of it as Peter walking on the water. Well, I think it's safe to say in the majority of the Bibles that we translations we use, if you were to open it and turn to Matthew 14:22, it would be titled Jesus Walks on the Water. The story's not about Peter. It's really about Jesus. And so if that's the case, I believe today that it's really not about Peter or James or John or all of those ones struggling in the boat that day, or even you or I, but it's really about Jesus. That's what the story is about. So what can we learn about Jesus through this walk on the water? One thing it will be true, I believe, is that it will always be true that when we take great risks for him and walk on the water, so to speak, with him, it's always because of him. And it's always to draw people to him. Now, with that said, we do have to think about Peter. Because like it or not, at some point, if we're going to walk on the water, so to speak, I mean, I would literally love to do that. I don't think it's going to happen today, but who knows? The day's still young. And Jesus has called me to unimaginable things otherwise. But bear with me, just not literally, but and not even figuratively, but actually in a spiritual kind of sense. If Jesus calls you and I out to step out on the water in ways that otherwise we wouldn't because of not having faith in him, at some point we're going to wrestle with the same questions that Peter and the other disciples had that night, I believe. We will have to wrestle with the courage to trust and the will to obey and the passion and the desire required to get out of the boat in the first place, whatever your boat may be today. We'll have to wrestle with those things as an individual and as a community. And so as we face the challenge of walking by faith and not by sight, which I believe today requires much perseverance, I want to share a couple of short quotes I discovered for perseverance's sake this morning. because these give kind of a nice image of what we need in the face of life's storm, if you will. Charles Spurgeon notes this, very short, very specific. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Now, I like that one today because the boys and I watched a cartoon version of Noah's Ark this last week, and there were creatures on there that I had no idea, that Noah even paid attention to. But just that slow but steady working forward is something that we have to think about as followers and believers when it comes to persevering. Next, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. And that's from the late, great Martin Luther King Jr. Before he went to be with the Lord, he made that statement. The famous, persistent British Prime Minister Winston Churchill affirms effectively this statement, "If you're going through hell, keep going." Now, I recognize he literally lived in a time and an age when the world was hell and bombs were falling and things were burning, and he had to have that persistent type attitude with the country that he was holding up. But at the same time, folks, if we are believers and there are those that are not believers, there are those that are dealing with a hell that is so much different than what Winston Churchill was talking about, that we need to push through and to keep witnessing and serving so that those who would be lost without the Lord will see that and possibly have a chance to walk on the water themselves. Another well-respected leader of our country who understood this word well was our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. And I'd like to kind of camp out here just a little bit longer today and share a more detailed summary of this wonderful leader's life and pray you appreciate and kind of see the connection between this and the story that we see here of Peter getting out of the boat by faith. It's noted that prior to marrying Mary Todd, Lincoln's original love was Anne Rutledge, who passed away at the age of 22. Lincoln's own mother had died when he was just 9 years old, and later his sister Sarah died in childbirth. Of his and Mary Todd Lincoln's four sons, two died as children during Lincoln's lifetime, and each of those deaths causing him enormous agony. Until Abraham Lincoln was 21 years of age, his father sent him to labor for others and then kept the wages that his son earned. As an illiterate man, the father saw no importance in Lincoln's education. Lincoln suffered from inferiority from his lack of formal education, which ended with a partial year of grade school. He was often confronted by men from aristocratic families, and those men having the best formal education that money can buy, while he was self-taught. Lincoln also suffered from inferiority over his appearance, which was mocked as being terribly ugly by some writers and political cartoonists, among others. Some saw him as being gorilla-like, while others saw him as uneducated and ignorant, just a country bumpkin way out of his league in national politics. In business, Lincoln failed twice. As a politician, he lost 8 elections, and he suffered a nervous breakdown, bedridden for 6 months, as fear and doubt and uncertainty lived within his soul. This is not a picture we usually think of when we think of this great leader that held our country together. No surprise, Lincoln suffered from depression throughout his adult life. As president during the U.S. Civil War, he was often criticized for the incompetence of his generals, particularly in the early years as the battlefield defeats mounted and the death tolls were stunning. Lincoln wrote one of the most famous speeches in history, the Gettysburg Address, as he poured his heart out trying to make sense of it all. Lincoln was haunted by a New Orleans slave auction he saw as a young man, and the impact of which he never got over as he witnessed the price of blood black soldiers paid in the Civil War with the hope of freeing their race. So as president, not only did Lincoln write and issue the Emancipation Proclamation that restricted slavery, but as the Civil War was ending in 1865, he initiated the 13th Amendment to the Constitution outlawing U.S. slavery forever. But what Lincoln achieved could not have happened had it not been for his perseverance and his heartache and his defeats, which he harnessed very effectively in ways that touched the world, and I believe even still touches our lives today. And so the big question today, church, is what does this have to do with Jesus in our lives? I believe the short answer is that acts of perseverance in the lives of our great leaders brings encouragement to overcome and to press on. But more than that, I believe that perseverance through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior brings us to a maturity of faith. And it also is a witness that may bring eternal life to the experience in the life of another. And so there is a connection there that we lead by words, example, perseverance, obedience, and a willingness to step out when stepping out is not easy. Consider the Apostle Paul's promise to the church. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside the weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance that race that's set before us, looking to Jesus as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart, i.e. persevere in your faith. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children, my child. Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when you're punished by him, for the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and he chastises every child whom he accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you and I, Paul says, as children. For what child is there who a parent does not discipline? Notice this. I believe Peter's past acts of faith were no good in that present circumstance when he finally stepped out onto the water that night. Let me say that again. I think that anything that he had done in the past, the miracles, the healings, the interaction with Jesus, the things that he had seen with his eyes and witnessed and shared in, really in that moment, were no good to carry him through the next moment when Jesus says, come. With each new step he took, he had to keep simple, trusting faith in the power of God through him to sustain him. This is a hard but good lesson. Our brother James says it this way, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops apathy? No. Perseverance? Yes. The developing of our faith develops perseverance, which must be finished in its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Consider the growth in Peter's life today. What can we learn from his experience? See, I believe that evening when the storm was raging and the ship was tossing and the water was coming in and they were just all wanting to curl up in the back of the boat and be done with it all, and then Jesus comes out across the water and it's as if everything is turned upside down and there's an opportunity that did not exist a moment ago, and Peter takes advantage of it. Maybe some of the others wanted to, but he was kind of impulsive. We know this about Peter's life. But he probably just jumped to the front of the line. And Jesus, and he yells, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And the scripture just replies simply, come. You know, there's no conversation, there's no interaction, there's an affirmation. If you trust me, come. And once again, it's easy to read over that verse that says, and he got out of the boat, you know, so we picture him gently getting out of the boat. No, I think he dove head first, and probably rolled across a couple waves and got up and started stepping again until he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started thinking about himself again. He was willing to risk that moment of excitement and of involvement and of connection in a very meaningful way that required obedience and courage and perseverance. See, even though we are to keep our eyes on Jesus, what do we see in Peter's life when he's doing exactly that? What are the things that we can... It's a familiar story. I'm not telling you a new story, but what is the Lord speaking to your heart when you think of that humanly impossible event that happened that dark, stormy night. What's the Lord calling you to be courageous in today? That's the question that came to my mind as I was digging through this scripture. You know, what is it, Lord? What are you calling me to be courageous in today, Lord? Where is He asking me to be obedient? And where do you need to trust Him in order to persevere? Those are three questions we could spend weeks on, but I would just challenge us this week alone to take those with us. Lord, where are you calling me to be courageous, obedient, and to persevere? And then on top of that, where are the places that I have failed, Lord, to persevere? And I so desire to not do that. I want to be back on the water. Church, here's our challenge today. As those of us who are empowered by God to be servant leaders, wherever we find ourselves, however young at heart we are, however young or old physically, however engaged or disengaged we are with our communities around us, this is our challenge today. Maybe He's calling you to salvation, to trust Him with your whole life. I don't know. You know, maybe that's the thing of getting out of the boat today, is that, you know, there's something in my heart I've been holding on to and I've never surrendered it to you, Lord. Show it to me. Shine your light on it. Draw me out. Maybe He's calling you to the waters of baptism. I don't know. Maybe He's calling you to give yourself more fully in service to the church. And this is not a pitch to pile something else on all of those things that you're already doing and all the committees you're already serving on and the ministries you're a part of. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is maybe there's something that God's putting on your heart, or He hasn't even raised it up yet as a ministry opportunity to serve Him more fully through His church. Maybe He's calling you to fully trust and keep your eyes on Him in a difficult relational situation that only God can solve and only Christ can give you the insight and answers for. Maybe He's calling you on a challenging financial issue that you've just tried to figure out and try to figure out and it ain't adding up and you need God in the midst of it. Or maybe He's calling you to get out on the water because of a difficult physical issue where sickness is the choppy water that you're facing today. And maybe it's cancer or some other sickness that there is no rational answer to. But Lord Jesus, my eyes are on you. And I'm stepping out and trusting you with this today fully, whatever that thing may be. Where is that place for you today? Our challenge is to bring it to mind, and then if you want to take it a step forward as you leave here today, go write it down and keep it nearby and pray over it and trust Christ for the results, whatever that thing is that represents your needing to step out of the boat. But with that in mind, be assured today that He is trustworthy in all of these things. So we need to be a people who are continually courageous, not because we have superhero powers or anything on our own, but because of who Christ is, that we can be super courageous. We need to be obedient to His leading, and we need to be persevering through His power and authority unto the end. What do we need to do or be because of this message today that God has given us through that scripture from Matthew's gospel? What is it about Peter stepping on the water? Does it seem too far-fetched to you? You know, that's a nice story that we teach our children in Sunday school, but really, I've never seen anyone walk on a body of water. Well, I've never seen yet someone raised up from the dead in front of me, but I believe it's happened. And I know stories of people who have. Maybe your water walking days are just going to be beginning. Maybe you'll literally see the Lord allow you to walk. But more than that, more importantly than that, as you walk with Him and you know of the reality of Him in your life, what are those things that you need to go, yes, Lord, please, if it's you, tell me to come. And to hear Him, not necessarily audibly, but to hear Him say, my child, come. Come on this one. I've got you. I've got your hand. Keep your eyes on me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in a room this size, we know that there are just so many things that we drag in here with us. Just the stuff of life that hits us between the eyes and we don't have answers for, but you are the answer. And so, God, whatever boat it is in our lives we want to crawl up in and lay in the back and hide, don't let us do that. Oh, God, if there is someone that needs a word from us through you today, give us boldness to step out on the water and speak that word in love by grace through faith. If there is a situation that is just weighing so heavily on our hearts that we don't even have clear perspective on other things in this life, whether it be sickness or finances or a disobedient child or a broken relationship or someone that's close to us that is just out of control, God, help us to come to you, to step out, to persevere, to be courageous, and to be obedient. Holy Father, blessed Lord Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, you alone bless those who revere your name and delight in your commands. O God, in the midst of inner turmoil or outer conflict, let us not be shaken, for our hearts remain steadfast, trusting in you and your overall plan for our lives. O God, we so desire to remain firmly grounded as we overcome the daily obstacles that are common to all of us who live here on earth. But Lord, help us to learn the valuable lessons along the way as we can press on toward the goal for which you have called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Help us to hear that calling to come to you today and to respond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.